And we're on. We started a few weeks ago our series entitled Infinitely More. And during a time like this pandemic, it's sometimes difficult to feel positive and to feel up about a lot of things. But I want to tell you something. I don't care what's going on around us in this world. There is one fact that we need to lean on. And it's one reason I picked that one old hymn that I did for us to do today. We have blessed assurance because Jesus Christ still reigns and still rules. Amen? And those that are helping here with the tech, if you want to provide the amens once in a while, that'll really help me out today, okay? I'll tell you what. The camera just doesn't do it. I know those of you watching are saying amen, but I can't hear you. Well, today's message in this series is entitled, Are You Ready for a Miracle of Infinitely More? Now, our text for our series is in Ephesians chapter 3. It's verse 20. And it says, Now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Excuse the pause. we had the gentleman kind of walk in, sat down for a few minutes, and then he just left. Kind of just threw off the timing here. We need to understand that God, when we will glorify him, when we will be true to him, when we will be obedient to his word, he wants to accomplish in us more than we could ever imagine. You know, the problem is a lot of times we put a lid on ourselves. And we don't know what's going on. We just can't get past that sometimes. Can I tell you the way to get past the lid in your life, the way to get beyond the obstacles in your life is to praise, to worship and praise God. So today we're going to answer this question, are you ready for a miracle of infinitely more? Go with me to John chapter 6. And I know that's going to be a little small on your screen, so I hope you have your Bible handy if you're watching this on your phone. In John chapter 6, it's a familiar story to many of us, but I want us to go through it again. In John chapter 6, it says this, sometime after this, after some things that he'd been doing, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples, and the Jewish Passover feast was near. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. And another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and says, Well, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? And Jesus said, Have the people sit down. And there was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, Gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces and the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. It's a familiar story. There's twice that we're told in the Gospels of Jesus feeding massive numbers of people. Here it's 5,000, another time it was 4,000. But I want you to notice something here. If we go back to verse 5, I want you to understand that it was true at this moment in time that we read about, and it's true today. Jesus already knows the need. There's nothing in your life that can come along. There's nothing you need in life that takes God by surprise. I've been saying it over and over during this pandemic, and some of you are going to say, Pastor, you're beating it into the ground, but I'm going to keep saying it till I'm sure you get it. God didn't wake up 2 months ago, slap his forehead, and say, Oh my goodness, what's going on? There is nothing that you will encounter in life where God's going to slap his forehead or scratch his head and say, gee, I didn't see that coming. This particular day, when this great crowd, and it always, we always talk about Jesus feeding the 5,000. It says there were 5,000 men. A lot of them had their wives. Some of them apparently had their children, because we're going to find that there's a little boy who shows up in the story. I want to put this in perspective. 5,000 men plus women and children. I would estimate that the crowd was probably closer to 8,000 to 10,000 people. Now, I'll put that in perspective. For those of us that live around here, we could take all of Clayton, all of Texline, and all of Des Moines, and all of Grenville, put it together, and we still wouldn't have as many people as showed up that day to hear Jesus. And yet, I'll ask those of you that are here helping me this morning, how many of you would like to have to cook for that number? Not at all. I wouldn't even want to try to slap enough bologna sandwiches together for that number. The need would be so overwhelming. But friends, Jesus already knows your need. Whatever you're facing in life right now, listen to me. Whatever you're facing, Jesus knew about it before Genesis 1:1. He does not get up. I want you to think about this. He does not get up every morning and have to check his calendar or his email to see what's going to happen that day. I do. I used to be able to remember my schedule and everything that was coming out. I used to keep it right up here. I don't know what happened. Well, I do. I got old. Now I get up every morning and I do. I pull up either on my phone or on the computer. I pull up my calendar to see what I've put on there for that day to make sure I don't miss anything. God doesn't do that. God already knows what your day is going to bring. He already knows the need you're going to have that day. Not only does Jesus know the need, he already has the answer. Verse 6 of John 6, look at this. He had asked Philip, where shall we buy bread to feed these people? I love verse 6. Jesus asked this only to test Philip, because Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. You know, one of the things that we need to be doing more of is trusting him. Stop panicking. Stop worrying. Stop fearing. I'm going to tell you, the worst thing that's happened to our world right now is not the coronavirus. It's not COVID-19. It's fear. Because when the devil can get us to looking through the lens of fear, it immediately negates faith. Listen to me, fear and faith cannot coexist in your life. And they're going to battle constantly for supremacy. And you decide the winner. Are you going to let fear sit on the throne of your mind and dictate your thoughts? Or are you going to let faith sit on the throne of your mind and dictate your thoughts? It's time for the church to rise up and for the church to be sure that we're exhibiting and living in faith. Amen? I got one. Oh, I hear the rest of them over the camera. Okay. Jesus already knows the need, and Jesus already has an answer in mind. Some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, I try to believe. I try to have faith. I try to trust that Jesus already has the answer. What's missing? Well, it's this. We find in verses 8 and 9, we find out that Jesus uses those who are ready. Verse 8, another of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He says, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. I want to stop right there. I know there's a comma, there's not a period. I want to tell you that for a moment, Andrew showed a lot of faith. 5,000 plus people, and they were hungry. I mean, if some of those people sitting there can eat like some of you can, 5 little loaves of bread and those few fish, 5 loaves and 2 small fish, really look more like a snack. For a moment, Andrew exhibits great faith. Lord, here's a boy with a sack lunch mama packed for him. See, a lot of times we encounter difficulties, we encounter needs in our lives, and we go to Jesus, and we say, Lord, all I've got's a little sack lunch, and I've got thousands I need to take care of. For a moment, faith rose up, but then he let a little bit of fear come in. But how far will this go among so many? In the natural, you and I cannot meet the need. Right now, we're all facing circumstances in our lives. Some of it's connected to the pandemic. Some of it's just life. And in our own resources, we can't do it. But I hope that today you'll begin to allow faith to rise up and you'll begin to become ready for a miracle of infinitely more. Bring what little you have. I love this story. I can just see this. Jesus just kind of ignores what Andrew says there. And he says, start to sit the people down. Can I tell you that we serve a God who's a God of order? We serve a God who is a God of wanting things done in a decent manner. He didn't just let the crowd wander around. He told the disciples, go get them sat down. Get them in groups of 100. Get about 100 to sit down over here. Get another 100 over there. I don't know, maybe he did that for a little social distancing. I don't know. You can laugh at that if you want that. But he wanted it in order. Sit them down. You know, sometimes things in our lives come at us. And we need to just find a quiet place to sit down. And we need to dictate and tell our thought life to just sit down and calm down. You ever had your mind go racing? Can I tell you, sometimes we try to battle that by getting up and trying to be busy. Can I tell you the best thing we can do sometimes is go find a quiet place, put on some very quiet worship music or some very quiet music of some kind that will relax us, get your Bible, and begin to just let God's Word and God's Spirit talk to you and let Him settle your thoughts down. I'm sure that crowd was out there. I get the idea they're kind of out there by the sea. They're out in apparently a very wide open area to hold that many people. And it's probably kind of warm. It's getting hot out in the sun. And they're getting hungry and they're getting grouchy and they're getting kind of irritated. And Jesus says, just set them down. Then he takes that little bit and he prays over it. Friend, when you give your needs to Jesus Christ and ask Him to do what the Word of God says He's doing right now, the Word tells us that Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father interceding for you and me. That word intercede means to be a go-between, to be an advocate, to stand up for you. I'll show you how old I am here. Of my four helpers that are here today, only one of them probably knows who I'm going to be mentioning here and will know who I'm talking about. But some of you other older folks out there will do. Jesus is like our Perry Mason. Do you all know who Perry Mason was? One, yes. Two, no. It's an old TV show. He was the greatest defense lawyer ever. He never lost a case, actually. Can I tell you, when you turn your needs over to Jesus Christ and He intercedes on your behalf before the Father, He never loses the case. Go with me for a moment now to Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. This is a verse that we need to remember. Jesus looked at the people and He says, with man, this is what? Impossible. Most of us right now, we're facing some things in our life that in our own resources, within our own ability, it's impossible. But Jesus didn't stop there. But with God, all things are possible. You see, there's some out there right now, and this is the tragedy of this time we're going through. There are those that have taken their own lives because they couldn't handle the quarantining and staying at home through all of this. And oh God, help us to find those people before it's too late and to do something. See, the problem is we get to focusing on something like this pandemic and the quarantining, and we say it's impossible. I can't do this. I can't survive this. Within your own resources, you cannot do it any more than the disciples could have fed 5,000 plus people with one sack lunch. With you and with me, it's impossible. But with God, with God, all things are possible. We've been doing the Wednesday night study. We just started it, and it's going to go for a few weeks called But God. Maybe I should do a follow-up when we finish that one called Not But God, but change the title to With God. You by yourself cannot do a whole lot, maybe. But with God, all things are possible. Put on your imagination cap for a moment. Jesus has had the disciples get all these people sat down. And think about this. I've got two school teachers sitting here helping me today with the technology and the music. How difficult is it to get 30 kids to sit down and be quiet? Very, right? Now picture this. 12 disciples are told to sit, probably 8,000 to 10,000 people, and get them all seated down in an orderly fashion and tell them to be quiet. And they're hungry. And yet they did it. And I just picture Jesus then takes that little boy's lunch. And I'd love to know what that little boy was thinking. Because I don't think Jesus and the disciples forced him to give that lunch. That little boy willingly gave his lunch, because how many of you know Jesus would never have taken it from him? It says Jesus took that food, that little bit, and he thanked God for it. When's the last time you thank God for what you do have instead of complaining about what you don't have? Yeah, I was waiting because my sister Connie's not here in person to give us a good ouch hallelujah. It says Jesus thanked the Father for what he had. And I can, now again, my imagination, this is if I were doing this, okay? I think if I was Jesus, I would have also made sure that we created a little bit of mayonnaise and tartar sauce and maybe some slices of cheese, because I like mayonnaise and tartar sauce and cheese on my fish sandwich. And he starts putting those fish sandwiches together. He's just putting them together and giving them to the disciple. And about the time they think he's torn off the last couple of slices from that loaf of bread, there's more. He reaches over and gets what they think is the last fish and puts it in there. And when they look back, there's more. Every time they think it's empty, it's not. And he just keeps going. They keep handing them out. And it says that when they were all done, and everyone had had what? Enough. Everyone had had enough. In fact, let's just go back there for a moment to John 6. I want to make sure I don't quote it wrong. Verses 12 and 13. When they had all had enough to eat, not a snack, not a nibble, not enough to just kind of keep their stomachs from not growling. When they had all had enough to eat, he says, gather up the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. And they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces that were left over. Now, there's a lot of debate among Bible teachers and Bible scholars as to what size baskets those might have been. You know what? I don't care what size those baskets were. It's a miracle that they all had enough to eat and there were leftovers. Now, that leads me to believe there were probably not a lot of teenagers there that day. Because, you know, teenagers and leftovers don't go together very often. Here's the thing, friends. If we want to be ready for a miracle of infinitely more, Our focus must not be on the need. You can stare at the need so long that it overwhelms you and it kills every ounce of faith that you've ever had. You can focus on the impossibility, and the devil will gain the victory because he'll get you to believing his lies instead of the truth that God has already placed in you and placed in his word for you. Our focus must not be on our meager resources. Friends, let me just tell you, in the human life, in your day-to-day life, if you only are going to rely upon your resources and not rely upon God, you'll never have enough. Never. Even the wealthiest people in the world with their millions and billions of dollars, if they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, they do not have enough. Our focus must not be on ourselves. Self-centeredness and pride will keep you from receiving the miracles that God wants to bring into your life. And your focus can't be on others. This is where I'm afraid, if we're not careful, a lot of people in the church are going to make the mistake right now during this time of pandemic and quarantining. We've got our focus on others. We've got our focus on the president. We've got our focus on certain Congress people. We've got our focus on governors. We've got our focus on this one and that one. Can I tell you, if your focus is on any other human being, you're going to wind up disappointed. However, our focus needs to be on the miracle worker, Jesus Christ. Not on the miracle. Don't seek the miracle. Seek the miracle worker. Seek a stronger, greater, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and the miracles of infinitely more will become a part of your life. I can't remember who sings the song. Let me want the healer more than the healing. Let me want the saving or the Savior more than the saving. Let me want the miracle worker more than the miracle. You see, we've got to get our focus off of things and our focus off benefits and get our focus on Jesus Christ. Who's that singer? It's Natalie Grant. Yes, it's a great song. I won't sing it for you. And I know everybody watching and those here in person with me all said a great big amen. You don't have to do it, okay? I did it for you. What a great song. Lord, I want the Savior more than the salvation. Why? Because if I have the right relationship with the Savior, the salvation's there. I want to focus on the healer, because when I focus on the healer, the healing will come. I want to focus on the miracle worker. Because if I do that, the miracles will come. So friends, today, are you ready for a miracle of infinitely more? If you are, release to Jesus what little you have. Get your focus on him, and it'll happen. You see, that's the beauty of it. He doesn't need your little bit. Let's just say that the problem in your life is like this raging, out-of-control wildfire. And we know something about that in this part of the country, don't we? If your need is like this raging wildfire, and all you've got is a little bottle of water like mine that's less than half full, and you're like, I can't do it, but God, here's what I've got. He doesn't need it, but he allows you to give it to him, and then you watch what he does with it, and suddenly he provides the resource to take care of the problem. Now, it may not be like you and I think it should be. It may not even be like we want it to be. But I will tell you what, for every person that was sitting there that day that sat down on the grass, I'm sure there were some of them that said, I sure hope it's not fish again. Boy, what I wouldn't give for a good steak. But I tell you what, I bet the moment they bit into that fish sandwich that Jesus made for them, I bet they changed their minds, because I guarantee it was the best fish sandwich they'd ever had in their lives. And when you and I will allow God to come into our circumstances and allow him to be the miracle worker that he is, and we turn it all over to him, I guarantee you the solution will be the best solution you've ever had. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today because you are the God of infinitely more than we could ever imagine. You are the God who wants to do more in us and through us and for us than our finite minds could ever comprehend. So, Lord God, today as we worship you, as we praise your name, oh, hallelujah. May we be willing to surrender our little meager resources in our circumstances to you and watch what you will do with it. That is infinitely more than we could ever imagine. And Lord God, when you do that, may the Holy Spirit nudge us and remind us that we are to give you praise and honor and glory and gratitude. And we ask this in your name. Amen. We remind you that I will be here for a little while. If you need to bring your offerings by, if you